America, unfortunately, has been rocked by some violent incidents lately. We're going to talk about this with Alveda King. Alveda King is the director of Civil Rights for the Unborn for Priests for Life. She is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And this is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Alveda, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Well, it's good to rejoin you, and hello to all your listeners as well.
All right, good. You recently wrote this out. You said, our hearts go out and prayers go up for the victims in America's most recent tragedies. It seems like it has been quite a few tragedies lately with shootings and knife killings, etc.
Once upon a time, we considered these to be random acts of violence. However, they're occurring so much, and there are always conspiracy theories as well. Regardless of the reason, they're always very tragic. And so our first prayers, regardless of everything else that's going on, is certainly to console those who have lost family members. You know, that happened to me in the 20th century. My uncle was shot, Martin Luther King Jr. My dad was choked and killed and thrown in a swimming pool and had no water in his lungs. And then my grandmother, Mama King, was also shot in the church playing the organ. So I'm familiar with these kinds of violent deeds. But we need comforting. People need to be comforted when that happens.
With the grandmother being shot, or what was she? Did she die from that? No.
She did die. Alberta King, the mother of Christine King Ferris, Martin Luther King Jr., and Alfred Daniel Williams King Sr., my daddy, they all died from violent death.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awful. You had mentioned the phrase thoughts and prayers. Lately, people are saying, they're almost throwing thoughts and prayers under the bus, like as if they're meaningless or even counterproductive.
Well, we know that you have random acts of kindness, random acts of violence, or whether they're intentional or not, but we know that good overcomes evil. So the little boy, I think he was in Texas with the most recent shooting, and 22 people at that time had died, and he says, well, go and do 22 acts of kindness to somebody. Go find people to do kind things for. So people may try to run over it, but as long as we keep saying it and doing it, then hope in America remains alive.
All right. Now, some of the politicians and would-be competitors to President Trump in the 2020 campaign are basically saying he is kind of to blame for some of these acts, especially the one in El Paso, and that he's supposedly promoting white supremacists.
I'm hearing all of that, and you might recall, as I explained to you, the 1960s, 50s, 60s, during the time that I grew up and became a teenage youth organizer in the Fair Housing Movement, led by my dad, Reverend A.D. King. And during that time, nobody said it's the president's fault. The president is saying things. He's making people do this, making people bomb you and all of that. And it seems as though it's a selective outrage. And so the Democrats, some of the most tumultuous times in our history occurred when we had Democrat presidents. So they forget that. And I've been a Democrat, I've been a Republican, and I've been an independent. So I say that people should do what's right just because it's right. We should not let party loyalties cause us to vote for things that we know we shouldn't vote for.
Now, your major issue through so many years has been the pro-life issue. Is there a link in some ways between the coarsening, the hardening of the human heart because of abortion, through abortion, 60 million plus abortions in America? Is there a link between that and our violent ways?
Well, you've heard me say this also. When peripherals collide, convergence is imminent. That could happen for good or for bad. When good things come together, they don't seem to be related. But people begin to bump into each other and touch on each other and then work together. You get beautiful things that happen. The same thing happens when you have peripherals and somebody says, well, I'm pro-life. And somebody says, I'm pro-abortion. Somebody says, I'm for natural marriage, God way. Somebody says, I'm for marriage any way we want to do it. You know, you have all these different opinions and things. So if they converge to bring further harm and dissension, that's not good. But so abortion is related, for instance, to breast cancer and cervical cancer. Nobody knows that. and often in the area of pedophilia and sex trafficking, which is sometimes glamorized by a word called prostitution. And so these are working women who chose that, and you shouldn't stop them because they can make their money. No, most of the time, those boys and girls, women and men, are pushed into what's called human trafficking and sex trafficking. Now, when they get pregnant, the people who are enslaving them and forcing them to do this drag them to the abortion mills, get the abortions, the abortion people, they pay money, enough money for the abortion people not to report it. So that's peripherals, we think, but they are colliding for harm. So things can come together for good, and I don't even want to say things. I want to be very specific. The things that we do to support life and natural marriage and unity and harmony, civility, and all of that, and if you're a Christian or whatever your faith is, you know, if there's something in your faith that says be kind to each other, be good to each other, respect each other, don't be colorblind, because we're not separate races. We're one human race. We can see color, but we know that's ethnicity. That's not to divide us. So if we can come to those conclusions and those points, then we can learn to resolve some of our differences.
Okay, there are many in the culture, not just candidates, that accuse Trump of being a racist. Now, Donald Trump has been a successful businessman for decades. Could he have gotten this far and even as far as the White House if he were an out-and-out racist? But what are your thoughts and your comments?
There have been racists in the White House. There have been people who were peacemakers in the White House. We've never had a businessman in the White House who is not a racist. Now, the definition of racism is socially engineered. It's been a socially engineered concept that human beings are separate races. However, science says that we are not. I did see the other day something about Ozzy Osbourne being genetically mutated and that he's not human. So, it hit the news. It actually did. It said that his blood type is so different that it doesn't appear to have a total human composition. But if you're a human being and your blood bleeds, runs out red, you can see it through your veins, it's blue, and it runs out of the veins, it's red, then you are not separate races. You may have different skin colors, different socioeconomic status, things like that, but you are a human being. So science and religion, Acts 17:26 says, of one blood God made all people, right? So President Trump, one of the first things he said when he was inaugurated in his speech, he says, we all need the same. I said, wow, he's not a racist. I already knew he wasn't, but he says that so easily. And generally, I've been around racists before. I was a state legislator, as you know, and I was dealing with genuine racists who didn't want to touch black people, didn't want to shake your hand. They just did all kinds of things, but I was able to pass legislation and we got to a place we could work together. But President Trump is simply, he's not colorblind. He could see color, but he's not afraid of people. And he's shown and demonstrated that, and he says we all bleed the same. So he really isn't a racist. I've sat in rooms with him full of African-American leaders, and he engages. He's an active listener, leaning forward, shaking hands with folks, hugging folks. No, he's not a racist. And then all the money to the historically black colleges and universities, getting the people out of jail. A lot of them are African-Americans, reunited them with their families. Our rates of unemployment are just so low, and the job rates, the job market is high for us. So President Trump is not a racist.
Well, and let's take an example. He was accused of being a racist because he said Baltimore needs to be cleaned up as a city, as do so many of these other inner cities. And, you know, he basically criticized Elijah Cummings. You know, here you are, you're criticizing me, but you represent Baltimore, and Baltimore needs to be cleaned up. It's, the rats running around the streets, et cetera. And then all of a sudden he gets accused of being a racist, but isn't his goal to make Baltimore into a beautiful city once again?
I believe his goal is to make Baltimore into a completely beautiful city, not just selected areas in that city, but not just for Baltimore, for all of America. I'm right. Very sure that that is the president's goal. And I saw something, I don't know where in the news today, I think it was, the people of Baltimore themselves who are living in these horrendous conditions are crying out for help. So he's not stating something that does not need attention.
Yeah, and in fact, the statements that he made that were supposedly racist, Mr. Cummings or Representative Cummings had actually made those same type of statements, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. We have video.
The same language. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, well, then Trump is guilty of plagiarism. He took Elijah Cummings' own words.
Don't say that on the air too quick. The next thing you know, they'll be saying that he is.
Yeah, right.
Don't give them any ideas. They can do pretty well by themselves.
Yeah, you're right. Now,
but we pray for them. I'm not angry. We're not angry.
Right.
We just have to pray.
Exactly. Okay, good point. And as far as white supremacy, again, Trump gets accused as if he's a white nationalist, as if they almost liken him to Adolf Hitler or something like that.
President Trump has been speaking out against all of that for a long, long time, and the media just doesn't want to, the mainstream anyway, doesn't want to report it. And it's just unfortunate.
Do you think that when the actual election comes down, people will be able to see beyond what the media has been reporting and to be able to see, you know, let's say some of the positive economic changes or some of the positive Supreme Court justices and other justices that President Trump has appointed and that he would get reelected?
I'm pretty much boots on the ground, and everywhere I go, people say, well, I don't want people to know, but I believe I'll vote for Trump next time. I say, oh, would you vote for President Trump? Because I always say President Trump, President Obama, President Kennedy, you know, President Clinton. They are, when they are in those offices, we should call them by their titles.
Yeah.
So I said, that's good. But I'm hearing that people are really taking a look and thinking for themselves, regardless of skin color. And I'm very, very excited about that.
Now, Planned Parenthood has a lot of money. They make a lot of money through abortions. They're certainly going to be supporting some of the candidates in opposition to President Trump.
They always will do that. However, they need to get busy paying reparations to black people, because the United States taxpayers don't need to pay the reparations. It needs to be those who have harmed us most. Planned Parenthood, with their billions of dollars, they are right at the top of the list. And there are other organizations that benefited in the times of slavery, from slavery, Jim Crow, all the way through segregation, desegregation, and to where we are now with legal abortion. They are the ones that have made all this money, and they should pay these tariffs and fines and to make restitution for the harm that they have done. So Planned Parenthood needs to stop receiving government funding out of Title X and other places that they get it, maybe, and to give back to the communities that they have harmed so terribly.
Okay, now we have about a minute left. How is it that Planned Parenthood has harmed the black community?
Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, said, colored people are like weeds. They need to be exterminated. We don't want that word to get out, so let's cultivate their leaders. And they came up with a grand scheme of scholarships and grants and all kinds of awards and things. And they have done that to our unsuspecting leaders, and it's time for them to stop and to stop aborting babies. They're America's number one largest abortion provider.
Mm. Okay, Alveda King, thank you so much for being with us. What website would you like to refer people to?
www.civilrightsfortheunborn.org.
Okay, Alveda King, thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.